the Parnas Hashana, sponsoring the Shiro, the Nishmas, Rav Gedali, Ben Rav Shimon, the Sham Shal Neliyah, the family Shal Yisimcha Nachas and Baruch. So we were learning the Maimer of Kedusha. We really finished except with the exception of the section on Mikveh, which maybe at some point we'll come back to. It's more of a practical avodah. Well, the COVID, the time that we're in, I wanted to learn, to begin to learn this Maimer on Simcha, Mahi Simcha, Simcha, page Kuf Mem Hei. Simcha. We've learned all the time that Mishnichnas Adar Marim B'Simcha doesn't mean that automatically a person becomes happy because of the change on the calendar. You see that generally is not how things work. Just because you wake up in the morning and it's Adar doesn't mean that everything is Gevaldik and that a person's besimcha. Simcha is not voda. It's one of the midas on that, which we've spoken about this many times. And it's a good time to work on this. Page Kuf Mem Hei. First, Mahi Simcha. Achiyu L'smach. Hisparsim Yisrael, Mashakosu V'svar Makadoshim, from Rabbi Nachman, Mitzvah Gadol Lios B'Simcha Talmud. So, that became, of course, very well known because of the song. But the words are really a chiddush. We need to understand them. It's a great mitzvah Gadol Lios B'Simcha Talmud. It's a great mitzvah to always be in a place of simcha. Mitzvah Gadol Lios B'Simcha Talmud. That's not a gemara. That's not a medrash. Those are the words of Rabbi Nachum Bressel, V'Schus Yilin. But Tzarech L'Zboinein, we need to understand, in my simcha hi mitzvah, if simcha is a mitzvah, madua ein zeh niska b'Torah HaKadosha, then why is it that the Torah doesn't tell us that there's such a mitzvah? Look at Reish Lamed Beis. Now, Avshin Nizka B'Torah Inyina Simcha. Of course, the Torah does mention Simcha. But interestingly, it's found in the context of the Teichecha. K'mosh Kosu Tachas Hashem Lo'evatz Hashem L'kecha B'Simcha. Whereas you all know, in the Teichecha itself, we're told that it seems to be saying that all of this has befallen you, or Chalila could happen to you, because you're not serving Hashem B'Simcha. And of course, Arizal and everybody's talking about this, that simcha is something which is, again, a mida. Simcha is, seems to be something which is an additional part of our way of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not so essential that we would be punished for not being b'simcha. That's cause enough not to be happy. Just the fear of not being b'simcha, what does that mean? Tachas shalavas comes from simcha, but the whole everything is because of a lack of simcha. So we definitely find in the Torah such a thing. Mikomakom is a nemar al simcha b'avodas Hashem esbarach shesameach al shezoichel avod samelach hagod. That's not telling us, that pasuk is not telling us there's a mitzvah to be b'simcha stam all the time tamid. You could interpret it to say that we're not serving Hashem b'simcha. Tachas shalavatas Hashem l'kav b'simcha, meaning that you're. Your davening is not besimcha. Let's say your learning is not besimcha. Your tefillin, your sukkah, your avartas Hashem is not besimcha. Atachas Hashem, avartas Hashem alokecha besimcha. That's what the pasuk seems to be talking about. But bechlal, mitzvah liyos besimcha, tamid, that a person should live every moment of his life in a state of simcha and being besimcha, that the Torah doesn't seem to say at all. Al besimcha bestam. So I was talking about that to the women a few weeks ago, that they tried to understand the difference between the simcha of Mishnechnes Adar Marbe Simcha by Adar Rishon, by the first month of Adar, and the second month of Adar. Because the first month of Adar is, what's the reason to be happy? What happened? What's going on by the first month of Adar? There's nothing different. It's a month for that. Any perm cotton. But it wasn't. There were no special Yavim Tovim. There were no special events that we're commemorating or thinking about, and it was a winter month, Adar Rishon. It was to fix the calendar, that everything should work out, the Pesach should be at the right time. So what's Adar Aleph? So when I was talking about the Barichas, if you have a chance to listen to that already, it's, I don't know when the next time we're having our Darish in a couple of years, but it's Nogeh to every single day to what we're talking about. So what I was talking about then was that we generally are of the mindset that we wait for something to happen to make us happy. And we wait for Simchas, we wait for a Yontif, we wait for a Shabbos, we wait for some milestone in our lives, to see somebody that we were happy to see. We wait for something that will cause us, be a cause to rejoice. And this month of Adar Sheni, we have, coming up very soon, we have, of course, the biggest Simcha of the year, which is Purim. And we get ready for that, and we're anxious for that, and so on. But other Rishon is really more of an avoda of mitzvah b'simcha tamid. To think about that sentence of what does that mean to be b'simcha tamid? Not waiting for something, not passively waiting for something in my life that's going to make me happy, but the avoda of mitzvah gedolias b'simcha tamid to bring simcha into my life. Even though there's nothing spectacular that's going on, or even if things aren't going particularly well, if it's just bland and cold and dark and whatever it might be, but because simcha is something that's not—it's not a matter of just waiting for passively for something to happen to you from the outside. Simcha is a meter that you have to work on within yourself. And the ikkar time, I was mentioning—that's why I spoke about two weeks ago. The ikkar time, or 3 weeks ago, the ikkar time is the avoda of other rishon is without anything happening to you. You're working on this mitzvah of Lias B'Simcha Tamid. But we need to understand, what does that mean, that it's a mitzvah gedola? What is this mitzvah? A mitzvah of B'Simcha B'Stam, Linus Keres B'Torah. We don't find it mentioned in the Torah. This mitzvah of Lias B'Simcha Tamid, to be always in a place of simcha. Which we see that by the Baal Shem, Talmidei Baal Shem, especially by Rabbi Nachman, but by all the Talmidei Baal Shem, became the centerpiece of all of our, not just Avodas Hashem, but our entire life is Simcha. And the greatest danger, when you look in the Chassidus Shem, the greatest danger to a person, not just to his Yiddishkeit, but his entire existence is asus, is sadness. So, what is this mitzvah? Kibachol Malkam Sheniska Simcha, because when you look in it, we're just finishing that note, when you look in the Torah, The only place where you find simcha being mentioned is Rak al mitzvahs, al chagim. For instance, when by Yom Tovim samachta b'chagecha. Now, the Torah seems to be just talking about the happiness that comes with special events, with doing certain mitzvahs, chagim achilas karbonis, where we find also by the eating of karbonis. But we don't find that it's a state, a perpetual state of mind, an obligation to live in a world of simcha. We don't find that. So back inside the actual text, it's a chubalizer. Now the answer to this is Kosher Rabbeinu Chaim Vital that we've spoken about over the years, which is not just regarding simcha, but bechlal. The question is really a much bigger question. We don't find Rabbi Chaim Vital. We don't find in the Torah that there are obligations regarding midas bechlal. For instance, the midas of zehirus and zvizus. If you go through the Mitzvah Shasharim, we don't find the Torah commanding us regarding the issue of laziness, not to be sad, whatever, all the midas. We don't find the Torah telling us specifically mitzvahs or averus regarding these things. So this is the question that Reb Chaim Vital asks in Shari Kedusha. So Besifrei Shari Kedusha was Elisham. So Reb Chaim says over there, Ein ha-midas meklal tayag ha-mitzvahs. Midas are not counted, are not part of the 613 mitzvahs. Omnam, however, Ein ha-chanes ikarius al tayag ha-mitzvahs. So Reb Chaim says a tremendous yisod that the midas themselves are not mitzvahs in the usual sense of being counted on the list of the 613 mitzvahs, but rather midas are hachanis ikarius. That midas are those are the ways of thinking and behaving that make a person eligible and qualified to live a life of Kedusha, to live a life of Torah Mitzvahs. It was just the prerequisite. The prerequisite to being a Jew that Shomer Torah Mitzvahs is hard work on who you are, to make yourself into a kli, to be able to receive the Or of Hashem and to be an Oved Hashem. So he writes, Yan ki ein koch benefesh ha-sichlis l'kaimus ha-mitzvahs l'ayideh ha-guf. He says that mitzvahs were never given to us to just be physical actions, even though most of them require specific physical actions. That's not the ikkar of the mitzvah, though you have to do whatever we have to do, whatever we were told to do, and to stay away from things that we're not allowed to do. But ein koach benefesh ha-sichlis l'kaimus ha-mitzvahs al-yidei ha-guf, ela b'amtzos ha-nefesh ha-yisaydis ha-mukhubaris al-ha-guf. Mitzvahs are not meant to be carried out by a zombie, a body without a soul, just physical actions. Mitzvahs, Hashem gave us the mitzvahs that we should carry them out as human beings, as Jews, where there's an unbreakable connection between the guf and the nesham, between the body and the soul. And the midas of a person are embedded in the soul. Midas are not it's not a matter of just a specific mechanical act. Midas is the person, the personality, the characteristics of the person. Therefore, since a person's midas are embedded within him in the soul, they're much, much harder to affect, to change, to repair, to improve. They're much harder than mitzvahs. A mitzvah, if you didn't do it, then do it. But, you know, it's a matter of physically, you didn't put on tefillin, chas v'shalom, yesterday, so today put on the tefillin. But to say to a person that, you know, you shouldn't be angry anymore, yesterday you were angry, today don't be angry. Yes. We put a lot of therapists out of business. And it's not posh at all. So midas rose, Rabbi Chaim says, a koshim and haveris. Unrepaired, unrefined midas is much more complicated, it's a much bigger problem than haveris. Ma'od, ma'od. Ma'aveins and ma'od. And understand this well. Ki liyosam ikar miyasodas. He's explaining why the midas are not counted in the 613 mitzvahs and are not even told in the Torah specifically about how to the person to be. So he says, Kiliyosim ikarim v'yisodas, because since the midas are ikarim, they're fundamental, basic yisodas of who the person is. L'nimnu b'chlal ha-mitzvahs, next page Kuf Mem Vav, atlius b'nefesh ha-sichlus. They're not included in the mitzvahs. Avo yosei tzorach lizor midas rose. However, more than anything, you have to be careful and work on midas rose. Yosei mikim hamitzvahs asev lo sesei. More, again, he's not saying you shouldn't, chas v'shalom, you should do one instead of the other. He said it's much more difficult and you have to be much more attentive to and work much harder on the midas. Yosem nakim mikim hamitzvahs asev lo sesei. More than the physical act of the mitzvahs, positive and negative. Ki be'yoso bal midas tovos b'nakel yikayim kol ha-mitzvahs. Not because the mitzvahs are not important, but if you're lacking in midas, then your mitzvahs are not going to work out either. The mitzvahs are built upon the foundation of a healthy person. And that's why you see this, and it's very, very obvious that when you have individuals, and we see unfortunately many of them, especially by young people, but not just by young people, who were raised, being taught all the mitzvahs, They went to yeshiva, and they were raised in homes where they taught all the mitzvahs, and yet many of them, many of the chevra, are not keeping these mitzvahs, and are doing aveiros. And when you get to the bottom of things, it's not 99% of the time, it's not because of theology. It's not like that 14-year-old has been dabbling in Aristotle or something, you know, or all of a sudden he became like this theologian, and he's wondering, you know, what proof is there for God's existence? That's not what is at the yisod, at the foundation of this individual's falling apart when it comes to Yiddishkeit. And the same thing when it comes to somebody that's not, you know, I was just reading from somebody that a woman was complaining that her, you know, husband never goes to minyan, gets up on Shabbos at 11:30, 12 o'clock, davens for 15 minutes, and that's been going on for years. So that's if you ask this person, why are you not getting up to daven? Is that because you have sveikus in Hashem's existence? You don't believe in God? Chas v'shalom. Mm-hmm. Is it because you don't believe in Torah Shebaal Peh that's important to daven? You know, to get up to daven. Chas v'shalom. You think I'm an apikoros or something? So then, why don't you go to shul? I'm not happy with my wife. Countless other things. I'm stressed out. With kids, it's harder for them to pinpoint what it is that's getting them down. What is it that's bothering them? But it's not religion, and that's nothing to do with theology. That's not why people are. There are a few people like that in the world, and there have been historically. You know, some people that their fight is against Hashem. That's not the fight. The fight is with the darker demons inside of themselves. Which is the world of midas, not mitzvahs. It's not mitzvahs. If the kid is doing well emotionally and things are tweaked in that world of who he is as a person, so then, you know, he gets over the fact that, you know, some rebbe insulted him, and now he's tzebrochen for the last 15 years, whatever it might be. Not that there's not reason or cause. There's plenty of reason and cause for all kinds of things. However, when you study this and you analyze this person's descent, a fall from Yiddishkeit, it doesn't have to do with religion. It doesn't have to do with the Muna. Sometimes, sveikus and the Muna. Usually the Midas, it's the Inyan of the Midas, and because the person feels then very, very guilty, very bad for not keeping things, then he's malbushit, then he enclothes his midos issues, enclothes it in something which is religious, and then he doesn't know, how do I know this is true, and so on. But that's certainly not the issue. The issue is midos, not mitzvahs. Mitzvahs is not the issue. When a Jew, of course, if a person wasn't raised with Yiddishkeit, he doesn't know. But if a person was raised with Yiddishkeit, and he learns, and he was taught, and he so on. So then the reason that he's not following the program is because of midas, not because of mitzvahs. It's not because, you know, but he has a taiva to a yetzar. He has a yetzar. Everybody has a yetzar, and sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, and you pick yourself up, and you keep on going. But there's something inside of him that's broken, that's not allowing him to pick himself up, or that's driving him deeper into something which is ugly. But it's not because he has a problem with, you know, with a Gemara in Brachas or something. That's not why he's not saying Brachas, because he didn't understand the Gemara in Brachas, or because he doesn't believe that the Gemara is true. Are there people like that? But even if they tell you, I don't believe in the Gemara in Brachas, that's usually not what it is. It's something else. And the something else is that the yisod of who the person is, and it has to do with midas. So what Rabbi Chaim is saying is, "Kibiyosa bal midas toivos v'nakel yikayim kol hamitzvos." If a person is healthy, we're just using the more modern terminology. Midas means if you are healthy, if you're healthy, emotionally healthy and well, and you have the midas that are required to be a person that can be an eved Hashem, and can be a good father and a good husband, you'll be a good father. And you'll be a good husband. It's not because the person doesn't believe that children don't need to be taken care of properly. You get some father that's horrible to his kids. Chas v'shalom. And you ask, what's the matter with you? Do you think this is the right way to raise? Do you think that in order for a child to be to be successful in this world, he needs to be abused and subjected to your negativity and criticism. First, he most likely won't see that at all because he has messed up midas. But even if you can get him to a point where he says, yeah, I see what you're saying, then he wouldn't tell you, yes, I think that children, it's necessary to raise children with nastiness, with abuse, and he would say such a thing. He would say no. He'd either deny that there's anything wrong with him, that his, most likely he'll say that his kid's messed up and his kid is a problem, it's not him. Or if he comes to a place of truth, he'll say, no, I agree that I should not have raised my kid that way, and that's not the right way to raise a kid, but I can't. I just can't. My father was like that. My grandfather was like that. I come from a long line of nasty, critical people, and I never got hold of myself. I never changed myself, and that's who I am. Sorry that my kid's getting the same thing that I got, or whatever, you know, whatever the emotional issues are. I'm miserable. Now everybody says I'm stressed out. When a person is midas are unpolished, unrefined, or chalila in a very bad place, then it's not just the mitzvahs that suffer. The mitzvahs suffer. Mrs. Asay, Mrs. Lois Asay, and his relationships suffer. Everything in his life is suffering because the yesod is the nefesh hasichlis. The yesod of the person is the person. That's the yesod of the person. It's the person, and that person you take with you wherever you go, whether it's in the parenting or marriage or wherever you go, you take that person with you. So that's the yesod of a person, is the person. Everything else in your life, you build up upon the person. So your entire Yiddishkeit, everything, your marriage, your Yiddishkeit, everything is built upon the person. So if the person is cracked and broken, so then the person can turn out to be very, very, very orthodox and very religious, but it's horrible. It's a terrible thing. His whole Yiddishkeit, his whole way of keeping Yiddishkeit is messed up. There's no lack of that. I mean, we see that all the time, and because there's something wrong with him at the core. So Rabbi Chaim is saying that these are not counted as mitzvahs because they're the prerequisite of living a life of mitzvahs. It's what you need. It's the ingredients that are necessary in order for you to be on the program. If you don't have these ingredients, or these ingredients are imbalanced or off, so then the program is, then the 650 mitzvahs are all totally, either you're not doing them, you're not going to keep them, or if you keep them, it's going to be in some sort of a perverse way. Like, you know, you'll throw yourself on a highway in front of thousands of cars because you're angry about something. Whatever, like something naughty. Things that go on, especially in our Holy Land. So those idiots that are lying on the highway, whether they're religious or they're not religious, that doesn't have to do with religion or with politics. It's because they're nuts. I mean, just... And so are their leaders. They're just deeply, deeply broken people. Not because... It's not a matter of religion or politics. There are ways to make your point when it comes to religion and politics, instead of preventing people from getting their wives to the hospital to have a baby. Or to mess up, you know, people's lives. There are ways to do that. The reason that you're doing that is not because of religion. It's not because Shabbos bothers you. It's not because the army bothers you so much. That's not what it is. It's mislabish and these in Yonim of Shabbos and Limud HaTorah. All these loud masses. They're such big masmidim. The big masmidim, you know where they are? Where are they? They're in the Beis Medrash. That's where the masmidim are. That's where the big masmidim are. They're not hanging around all day and night or walking, you know, you'll be in Yerushalayim, you know, you're just going shopping somewhere in Gula, you have these people walking around with signs for the last 45, 50 years. The same people, his kids are already still walking next to them, you know, chanting certain horrible, negative things. And this is not because of religion. It's not because Shabbos is so dear to them. You'd like to see how these people live Shabbos. What's their avoid on Shabbos? Their whole fun is being angry about people not keeping Shabbos. When it comes to Shabbos, that's a big downer for them. I know some of those, however, when I was younger. I don't stay in touch with them. But I knew some of them from many, many years ago. You'd think that they have a fiery Shabbos by tzaddikim and that they're up till 3 in the morning, 3 in Tish. Shabbos, they're out of business. Their avoda is to until it gets a little bit later in the day, or when they're able after shul to get angry at people who are driving on Shabbos. That's not their avoda. It's not Shabbos. It's not because of Shabbos that they're screaming and yelling those whatever 100 mishugarim. It's not because of Shabbos that they're on fire. Shabbos. No, this one's angry at his mother. This one's angry at his wife. This one is broken because he never made a penny in his life, and he's embarrassed and humiliated. Being a schnorrer. Each one is a story. Just like every single, the ones that come around collecting, they're all stories. Everyone's a story. All of us are stories. Those are very extreme stories. But at the core, it's an unhealthy person. When you see somebody that's 25 years old and he's coming around collecting, it's Rahmanis, and you give him something. But why aren't you working? Because of the issues of your life. Tell him, work it out. Life is not easy. And you've had a couple of hard things happen to you, or whatever it is. What are you walking around collecting money when you throw it? I'm not saying this not to give them. You give them something, but that's not the point. The point is that it's not about the inyan. It's something unhealthy inside. And that's what Rabbi Chaim is saying, is that it's the midas. The midas are not mitzvahs, because a mitzvah is a checklist of things that you need to do and do them well, and put your heart and soul into it. But if you don't have a heart and soul, then what do you do? So those are just physical acts. Physical acts you can command. The mitzvahs, the midas, mitzvah gedolias besimchat tamid, that's something else. That's what we're learning. That's the yesod of the mitzvahs. That's the person. This is kibiyoso bal midas tovas benakel yekayim kol mitzvahs. And if you're a person of midas tovas and you work on your midas, Tamid, always, then mitzvahs are gewaldig. Mitzvahs are terrific. Mitzvahs are the greatest thing in the world. You enjoy them. But same thing when it comes to marriage. If you work on yourself, you work on your mitzvahs, and again, I'm not talking about when there are people that are a couple that they don't belong to, but if it's two nice people, you work on your mitzvahs, then the marriage is gewaldig. Marriage is a wonderful thing. If you haven't, you take yourself into your marriage with all the stuff, and if you're a lazy person or an angry person, whatever it might be, if you have these things and you haven't worked on them, then they're going to surface in your marriage, and it's going to come out as being a machlokes between the husband and wife. But the truth of the matter is that this machlok is within yourself. And if that would have been resolved, and if that's something that you would work on, so then your wife would be a tzaddikus. Your husband would be a tzaddik. But because of all the internal imperfections and issues and problems, which you take into everything of your life, so then everything you build upon those bad meters, you try to build a building, this building is called marriage. It starts to fall apart. You try to build Yiddishkeit. Because you're building is in quicksand, I never actually saw quicksand, just like in TV shows when we were kids. There was some guy that was drowning. But you don't have to see it in the movie. We see around everywhere, people sinking. And it seems that the harder they try to get out, that's the whole thing with the quicksand. I don't know if there is such a thing, but that's the harder you push, the more you sink in, because they're pushing at the wrong things. Pushing the wrong things. So when you have, for instance, I see this all the time. You'll have a bacha, and this bacha has some serious issues. And the rabbi gives only one eitzah. What's the eitzah? You have to learn more. Your problem is that you don't learn enough. This bacha has got serious issues. He's not learning enough, according to your opinion. It could be he's learning too much, by the way, for him who he is. But he's not learning enough. That's a symptom of something else. Why isn't he on the program? So you're just saying, take this and you'll feel better in the morning. That's pretty much, a summary of the general advice that goes on in a lot of places. So it's the same way like when we were kids. No matter what happened to you, just you take this aspirin. They used to give you the aspirin on my bench. Like in camp, you could break your leg, and there was some lady that was knitting in the office or something, and she says, no matter what happened to you, you could have diabetes or gone through a heart attack. She's knitting. She's going to take two of these. That was the end of it. Everything is one medicine for everybody. That's all. You're not learning enough. Yeah, Torah is a samchaim. Torah is something that gives life. Torah is medicine. Torah is gewaldig. But you know that there are certain medications that if you give it to a person whose sickness is coming from something else, then the medication you're giving can make it much worse. That's why the Torah could be a sam misa. Chazal say that. That's what the Torah can do. That's why the Torah itself could be dangerous for a person. Which doesn't mean we're not supposed to learn, we're not supposed to keep mitzvahs. But if it's an unhealthy person, the Torah can make him even more unhealthy. Because you're pouring something holy into something that's broken. And the holiness davka could have, when it meets up with that brokenness, could create, you know, some guy lying in the street, you know, or throwing rocks at somebody on Shabbos, which is, again, there are very few people that do such things, but it could create something, I'm just giving an extreme example, it could create something very unholy. And the Torah and the mitzvahs that you pour into this person who's unhealthy makes the unhealthiness, the sickness even worse, more extreme. And not only that, but now the person has an excuse. Why is he so angry? He's angry because his kids are not firm enough, or his wife's not firm enough, or the world is not firm enough. He's angry. It's not about firm. He's angry. And because of that, he sees, everywhere he looks, he sees things that, you know, and he blames everything with Yiddishkeit, and it's a whole religious thing. And then if you argue with him, you're arguing with Hashem, and all this stuff. It's because of me, this. It's not because of Yiddishkeit. Look in the bottom, Reish Lamed Gimel. V'novi od ma'at m'lishon ha'kodesh. Chol zman hayos ha'midas arose kfuus ba'odom. As long as the bad midas are kfuus, are fixed, meaning are stuck in the person, he's not really able to keep Torah mitzvahs. Certainly not in the right way. Oftentimes not at all. And even if he, Rabbi Chaim says that even if he is keeping the mitzvahs, it's not l'shem shamayim. Like I was saying about the people screaming and protesting all this stuff. It's not l'shem shamayim. And it's b'torach God. The Yiddishkeit is b'torach God. Meaning it's very heavy on them to keep Yiddishkeit. It's a tremendous. Mikoytze ruach me'avoyda kasha. It's very, very hard. V'olav ne'mar, it says in the pasuk, nezem zahav ba'af chazir. It's a very powerful pasuk in Mishlei. Like a golden ring in the nose of a pig. What does that mean? See, how a pig is the symbol of that which is low and filthy. A chazir, no? But you could dress up the chazir. You put a golden, expensive, beautiful ring in the nose of the pig. You put a beautiful golden ring. So what does that mean? He says, "Ki od tumaso ba." You take a person who's all messed up, who's a chazir, who's got all kinds of horrible, negative, dark midas, and ki od tumaso ba malubash toicha klipas. As I just mentioned, it's in the Gemara in a few places. So you take a person who's be'etzem in terms of his meat, this is a chazer, is a pig, and you get the most expensive talus and tefillin for him. So it's like a golden ring in the nose of a chazer. You know, you prop him up under the chuppah with some nice kala, and the people that know this guy really, really well, and they gave him all the fantastic recommendations to the girl's family, but they really know that this girl's in trouble. You know, They're sitting there. I don't know if any of you ever sat at chuppahs where you were very uncomfortable about what was happening. I've had to be at such chuppahs where I was dealing with situations, and then they're going to the chuppah and everybody's singing and excited, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, this is what's going to be over here. And I always try to be machazim myself. Well, you know, marriage will make him come around. And when I'm looking at this girl, I'm thinking, oh yeah. Well, you don't know what you're in for. Because I know this guy for 10 years, and you're in for it, and vice versa. So, you know, just because you put the wedding gown on the cow doesn't mean that she's not a chazi, you understand? Same as just because you put you put the chuppah over the heads, or you put a talus on this guy, that doesn't make him, could be you're putting a golden ring on a chazi. And they discover relatively quickly, you know, either one of them is a chazi or they're both chazer. It doesn't mean that they can't work it out, but it's hard. It's not just a matter of what you do, it's a matter of who you are. And you come under the chuppah with the person that you are. And you go into the marriage with that person. And that's what the pasuk is telling us we have to be afraid of. The Torah itself can be a sam chaim, can be a sam, lo zach and asle sam amavis. The golden ring that doesn't automatically make you into a holy person. You could be putting a golden ring in the nose of a chazir. And then it becomes, and the point is that the whole picture, of course, is very absurd if you think of it. You take a disgusting, filthy chazir and you put some gold ring on his nose. It's absurd. Kashi is Gabriel Yitzro v'yilachembo v'yasamei lov midosav haroz ayidei torach. Rabbi Chaim says when a person works hard to overcome and to repair, to fix and to refine his negative midas, his destructive midas, v'kayim ha-Torah mitzvos, and then with that person, that healthy person, he's mekayim Torah mitzvos, you carry tzaddik gomer. Then we could talk about it, tzaddik. Not a chazah with a golden ring. A chazah with a pair of tefillin. A chazah that's a big masmid. No, while his wife and kids are dying. Now we have a tzaddik. Kamatar v'amisses, you carry tzaddik gomer, yirei shemayim, gibra, kavishes yitzvah. Now it's a true yirei shemayim, a gibra, kavishes. There's always yitzhar. Even if you have wonderful midas, yitzhar means you have to fight with yitzhar. But the person's equipped to fight. If a person's midas are not healthy, he's not equipped to fight against the yitzhar. How are you supposed to fight against the Yitzhar? With what? You're not equipped to fight against the Yitzhar. So it's not enough that you officially signed up to the program and that you have emunah and so on. Of course, that's all very, very important, and we believe every single Jew has that within him, that emunah that he heard that Hashem say Anoch Hashem Lekecha. But if the midas are not there, so then the emunah doesn't necessarily work out to make you into a person who's keeping mitzvahs. And even if you are keeping mitzvahs, that you're keeping mitzvahs in a way, is making you into a tzaddik of a person. You could keep mitzvahs your whole life. It didn't make you into the tiniest little bit of a tzaddik. Even though you get up every morning for shachris, and you put on tefillin, you never miss a day in your life, and you sit in the sukkah on sukkahs, and you eat matzah on Pesach, that doesn't make you into tzaddik. You could train a monkey to also eat matzah. But the monkey's a monkey, so then the second that something happens, the monkey starts jumping on the table, and there's a monkey. So some of the biggest fights that people have is dark around the Shabbos table, or the fights for Pesach are already well in motion at this point. not by the people who are at home, only by the people who are going away. Or if you have one of the people that wants to stay home, the other one wants to go away. Those are the big fights. The big fights. The $85,000 question. So, but the biggest fights, Shabbos. There are people who have told me that Shabbos is the worst trigger. You know that word trigger? It's used a lot lately. That the thought of Shabbos, And Achas Kama V'Kama, when it comes to Shabbos, they shut down emotionally because they have horrible memories of the parents fighting on Shabbos. Horrible memories of Shabbos. Shabbos is associated with terrible things. But they kept Shabbos. They made Kiddush at the beginning, they made Havdol at the end, but everything in between was Gehenna. Yom HaShishi. Ay, Shabbos Yom Menucha. Some of the worst battles are fought, Shabbos. There are many reasons for that. Mostly because they're actually spending time with each other. And when a person who's a chazer spends time with somebody, he usually gets involved in chazerish things, you understand. That's the nature of a person who's a chazer. He's a chazer. And when you spend time with him, the chazerishkeit has a way of coming out. But there are many, many other reasons to have why Davka Shabbos. But people have told this to me. The Shabbos is the worst trigger. It comes to Shabbos or Pesach, you enter the Seder, the second they think of the word Pesach, it sets off all kinds of alarms. Because Pesach was terrible. It's terrible. And a lot of times it has to do with chumras and Yiddishkeit, you know, religious things and all kinds of stuff that seem to be, that have to do somehow with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you could do you could be keeping the Tayag mitzvahs your whole life. You kept all the mitzvahs deraisa derabanan, and you're so far from being a tzaddik. Not only that, you use your Yiddishkeit as a weapon against people. Your mitzvahs are weapons. Your Yiddishkeit becomes a weapon to hurt people. The very same thing that Hashem Zbach gave you to give life to yourself and to others, you use to hurt people. And because your terrible midas come out wrapped up in a talis and tefillin. Comes in a talis and tefillin. It's a chazer wearing a talis and tefillin. Even in a simple thing, you could be in shul and you could stand there watching, or you could be at a Baruch Hashem, I have a lot of chasnas lately. Standing there, you're davening at the chasna, or you're in shul, and there's somebody that's saying Kaddish. And the person, the two people talking next to him, totally out loud, right next to this person, is saying Kaddish. Talking like this, no, like it doesn't exist. And they're standing there like with, well, now I wouldn't say with a little siddur, because now they're holding a phone, and they're talking next to a person that's saying Kaddish, like he doesn't exist. So what's that? So he's the mincha itself. It's not about the 613 mitzvahs. He's davening mincha. But the fact that you're davening mincha doesn't make you into a sensitive enough person to even stop talking right next to a guy who's saying Kaddish. Who's saying, you can't even stop talking next to the person saying Kaddish. Or if you tell him to be quiet, then he'll yell at you and get angry at you or something like that. People carry on. With the davening, with the mincha, with being on the program, with all the mitzvahs, all 613 mitzvahs, davening's in the minyan, but he's a chazer. That's davening. If you pull the talus off of his head, you'll see a chazer. You'll see the face of a chazer. It's a chazer. That's davening. That's not what Hashem had in mind to make a minyan of chazerim. It's a chazer. That's davening. That's where Rebbe Chaim is saying. So you're asking, why don't we have on the list of 613 mitzvahs, why don't we have like being a nice guy? Why doesn't it say, Vaydabar Shal Moshe Lema, Dabar Bnei Yisrael V'Emar Lahem, be nice guys? The Baruch Shalom is talking to people who are nice. The people who are not nice, Baruch Shalom is not talking to. First he's saying to the person, put yourself together. I have what to tell you. I'd like you to put on talis and tefillin. I'd like you to get married. But that's when you're talking to a person. Not if you're talking to a chazer. What are you going to tell a chazer? Put on talis and tefillin? That's going to make the chazer into a tzaddik, into a mensch. the Yiddishkeit is going to make that person into a person, into a mensch. You see, I don't know how the way kids are raised nowadays and how they have here a little bit younger than me and some that are more my age, but you could see, you can go someplace now, you'll see that there'll be a table, there'll be like there's a crowd, and you'll have 20, 30 kids that are sitting down, and the fathers see, their parents see, that there are older people that are standing around. These kids wouldn't even notice that there are older people standing. And even their fathers don't tell the kids to get up. Where I come from, you get your ear taken off. I'm saying literally, your ear would be taken off. If you were a kid and you were sitting there, was an old person standing, your ear would be taken off. Not just by your father, by some other yid. And none of us went off the derech because of the broken ear. You get your ear taken off. Do you open your eyes, look up, you see what's over here? Well, you're sitting down, you're 9 years old, you're 10 years old. You don't see what's going on. There are people standing here. I mean, the most obvious thing is. And oblivion. And you're going to pour Torah into entitled children. Selfish, self-centered, entitled children. More Gemara, more Rashi, more Taisus. It's all good. I'm a big fan of teaching Torah. But pour more into little baby pigs, little piglets that haven't been taught the olive base of what it means to have derech eretz for an older person. Derech eretz for a person. Whether somebody to stand up to give a seat for someone that's Jewish or someone that's not Jewish without going into the sugya of Bnei Sevetov. Because they're also there, even to stand up in front of, to give a seat for somebody. So you can sit there, you're going to be saying your tillim. Or somebody else to stand, you'll sit there and you say, tell. Just to get the ear taken off. A stranger will come up behind you and just twist your ear and pull you away from the chair. If someone would do that now, the father of that kid would take that person to court, would sue the person. How dare you touch my Yankee? My Yankee doesn't get up for anybody, even me. It's bizarre. But you could, and you'll pour more Yiddishkeit into this kid. Yeah, more Yiddishkeit. And he could become a very, very frum, self-centered, angry person. But very frum. Or whatever, the other option, which is just to run away from it all. But pour into him more and more. And the reason that it's not working out so well is because he has to learn more. He didn't learn enough. If he would learn more, then he'd be okay. Learning more, again, as Rabbi Chaim is saying, is pouring into somebody that's not healthy. Chazal say it could be a sam misa, could be making matters worse, not necessarily better. We're going to have to go daven. We'll continue with some of the bottom of that note.
Спасибо, что он любит машину.